Hennick Ray, for the Midwest's finest.
With a dough drop deuce in a 20, right around the city, pocket full of Benjis. Four with a dough drop deuce in a 20, right around the city, pocket full of Benjis. Four with a dough drop deuce in a 20, right around the city, pocket full of Benjis. Bitch, I don't give a fuck who's hating, I'm steady growing this.
And I feel the rise up in my bones.
Got tests up on my skull. Back out, I
don't know. I like the idea of the, you know, the Martin versus Malcolm aspect. Mm-hmm. So it's like, Martin was always the more professional one. You know, he was going to be the one that more people in the civilized world kind of relate to. And that he's the one that we're going to learn about in the history books. Because more influential, he got these things done because of that. But in reality, without Malcolm there as like kind of a threat underneath Martin, you know, Martin was doing these things to pass these things peacefully. But he's like, listen, if you don't work with me on this, if we don't pass this act, like, what do you think Malcolm's going to do? You know what I mean?
Exactly.
And so Malcolm is like, Malcolm is like that, is like the, it's the underbelly. It's really kind of what we're talking about in the end. It's like that there is a world that we are savage human beings. We're flaws. There's hate in the world. It's a yin and yang thing. Like, hate exists, fear exists, but, you know, it's how you use that. And so, like, for Martin to be like, look at that fear, look at that hate, you know, it's, you want to side with love, but love isn't always, you know.
Yeah, they say you can't fight fire with fire, but you still have to assess how big the fire is and how fast it's spreading. And, like, at some point, it would be better to fight. Just let the flame burn out, you know, start the fire. Keep the fire going, at least fight back, because there's, like, if it's all going to burn down, if it's already being burnt down so much to where only they're going to burn down every community except for the richest of the rich, then it's like you don't have an option but to mirror that savage nature of, like, being violent, excessively violent. It's like, if someone's, it's like my dad always told me, you know, he said, never pick a fight, but if someone's beating the shit out of you, don't just sit there and take it, you know?
Yeah.
Don't just, like, it's not, love shouldn't have to mean turn the other cheek, but more so knowing when it's going to help more to be loving instead of and turn that. It's about knowing when to turn the other cheek. If it's going to be more productive to turn the other cheek, let him get it out and then be like, okay, listen, I know there's a part in there. There's like a heart in there.
Yeah.
Like
you want to relate to it.
Yeah. And those are the people you need to convince. It's the people not doing the slapping, but the people that are standing by watching the slapping and thinking they're not next to get slapped. And they're just like, turning a blind eye. You need to convince those people, and I think love will do that more so. And it's not the diehard Trumpers and stuff, you know, and like the people that just, you know,
well, it's just so the world
up for the elite, but the people that are on the cusp, you know. And I think that's that is the silent majority of people that,
well, and it's not just Martin or Malcolm, you know what I mean?
Exactly.
Like those Martin for sure, like, he promotes this idea of love and turning the other cheek and talking. And again, Malcolm kind of does the opposite, but it's like, that's because they're the symbol of that whole side. You know what I mean? They have to encompass that, but it's not just those two.
Yeah,
there's going to be people who see sides of what Malcolm did and be like, yeah, he did some good shit.
Exactly.
And there's just, you know, it's not, we live in, I think we were talking, the two-party system. What it comes back to is like our whole world. I think I said it at the beginning of the episode with Logan. It's like, if you had one power to control the whole world, that one power would make a decision, and 50% of the world would get mad at it, and 50% of the world would agree with it.
I just watched finished the Avengers. I don't know if you've seen all the Marvel movies.
For sure, yeah.
It's kind of like the Thanos theory.
The Thanos theory.
Or, like, not the theory, but, like, the theory he had of, like, wiping out half of the...
Yeah.
And then the half... Spoilers, sorry, but... It's interesting. I remember you saying that. I thought about it. And I wonder if that is true. Like, 50% would... Like, where do you get...
I don't know where he got that fact from, but it makes sense to me.
Who made
it was just my roommate. He's, like, a very... He gets into politics a lot.
Okay. Yeah, I don't know if... To me, I don't know if that's exactly true, because it kind of depends on the circumstances still and, like, how abusive it is. But if in, like, the most ideal paradise for that other 50%, then totally, because then those people are going to be comfortable. And that's kind of, like, the issue we're dealing with, like, white complacency right now, is that, and I think that's partially as fucked up as it is in some sense, because it points out the hypocrisy of white people that say they are the most Christian or the most loving and yada yada yada, that you should have more Martin Luther, you can whitewash that, and people have been, you know, like taking the Martin Luther King thing, they're like, he was so peaceful, and you're saying this is the way to do it, and yada, yada, yada. And it's like, there needs to be nuance to the conversation. Is rioting and looting good? No. But why are they doing it? That's the question that we should have a conversation about, too. And you also have to look at the details of who's doing it. And, like, there's no group is just one thing, especially right. at this point. You can ask somebody what it means, one person what it means to be Christian, and ask another person what it means to be Christian or to be a feminist or to be, you know, a conservative or a liberal, and they're going to give you different answers. Nothing really means what it means anymore.
But people want to believe that it does, and they would try to group themselves. Their own version of it.
They're like, it's mostly that, but, like, this is, and there are some people, you know, they're like, this is what the word originally meant, and it means this, and that is what, that can be ultimately good, or it can be ultimately bad. But...
Well, yeah, I'm with you on that one. But I do still want to get back to the idea of...
You're slipping into...
Yeah, well, into it happens. It all applies. I mean, and especially when something this big is happening in the world, it's hard not to come back to it. Yeah,
everything feels like it's revolving around it.
Yeah. But to get back to the idea of the porn industry and stuff like that, so I liked what you were going off on a little bit before. It was... Well, it's like these girls kind of choose at this point to, you know, to sell their bodies for porn. And not just porn, but, you know, so there's this movie called Jesus of Montreal, and there's a scene in it. It's a very, you know, it's about art and religion and the idea of putting on a play about Jesus and how, like, sacrilegious it was to do that. It was just, like, really interesting. But there's this character who was, like, a Mary Magdalene figure.
Okay.
And she was going out for advertisements and whatnot, and they wanted her to, like, show her body or, like, show her, you know, show her breasts on for, like, to promote something, basically. Right. And it was like, yeah, she's okay with doing that. But then at some point, it becomes where she feels, like, pressured into doing that, you know? She's like, she's done it before, and she, like, was up there ready to do it. She, you know, she went out for the audition again, and it before it was never, like, showing her breasts, but, you know, she was on that path, I guess. And the Jesus figure in this at this point comes in and is like, hey, you don't have to do that, you know? Like, and she's like, because he was like, basically, you have me, you know, you don't have to sell your body for this idea that you'll get rich, you know, and I don't know how much, I mean, obviously, that's Jesus, right?
Right.
But, you know, it's...
The OG hippie.
Yeah, the OG hippie. Yeah, exactly. You can live, like, a free life, I guess. So, I don't know, at what point, I was watching Perfect Blue with somebody. It's an anime movie. And there's a point where this girl's like, yeah, I'll do, like, there's a rape scene in this movie. I'll do that. But the manager is like, I mean, everybody's going to look at you from that rape scene. You know what I mean? Like, to begin with.
They're going to be someone who did a rape scene.
Yeah, it's like, and well, they're always going to look at you as a sexualized person, you know? It's like, so, you know, where does the line come in with art and you know, selling your, you know, things that seem maybe ethically or morally wrong.
Yeah. I mean, to me, there's, again, nothing inherently wrong with depicting it or, you know, I mean, there's something inherently wrong with rape, obviously, and I would think that if they're doing a rape scene, they're...
Contextualizing
it well exactly, enough. And that's what matters. And then, I mean, consensual prostitution is, like, obviously much different than rape. Although I'm sure there's plenty of instances with prostitution where people do get raped, and that's
obviously... That's why the pimp needs to be there.
Yeah, exactly.
Beat that bitch up, you know?
If they're hopefully a decent pimp, which, in that regard, they may...
Well, it's kind of stupid because the pimp has, like, they're in that moment, like, she's going to get beat up, and then he gets to kill that dude, but it's like, there's still that moment, you know?
Yeah, exactly. There's still that risk. And I think even in the most ideal version of prostitution or pornography or sex scenes, like... There's still a risk to doing it if there's a bad person in the situation, but we shouldn't have to focus. There's way too much focus on that. I feel like that question of, is it right or wrong to depict these things or do these things in and of themselves, if they're even in the best way that they can be done, rather than focusing on, like, the people that are fucking up those situations, that are pressuring people to do the scenes when they don't want to. Or the person being depicted, if they are, like, the rapist. And it's crazy that, and I think there's something to be said that it has, that maybe it is harder for women in that instance. You do, like, a sex scene, then everyone, like, that pops up in someone's mind. That doesn't have to be a bad thing, you know? Like, I think of the... Just right there, I was thinking of sex scenes. I think of the Margot Robbie sex scene in fucking Wolf of Wall Street.
Yeah, and there's, like, humor in it, you know what I mean?
And there's beauty. I mean, she's an extremely attractive woman. That's, like, I think...
She gets to display confidence, yeah. And it's still
sexualized. Like, there's... What movie was it where... I think Chloe Grace Moretz was praising... Luca Guadagnino or whatever his name is, who made what's that movie called? It's a giallo film. Fuck. It's about dancers and stuff. It's kind of like nightmarish, and it starts with an S.
I don't watch Chloe Grace Moretz because I don't like her as a person.
Oh, you don't?
Well, just her face, you know, just kind of annoying me. Okay, it's not for you.
It scares me.
No, really. I just don't. I don't know. I haven't seen the movie.
That's fair. God, yeah. I can't remember what it's called. It's supposed to be really, really good. It was like a remake of an older film, and it's like a horror movie. Kind of like some Black Swan-ish from what I've heard. But anyway, there's nudity in it. She like praises the director because she's like, this is the first movie I've worked on where there was nudity, and the director didn't sexualize the nudity. There was nothing sexual. It was all like artistically appreciative of like just the female form or something like that, which is good. Like, that stuff should exist too. But I also don't think there's anything... immoral inherently about sexualizing something. There's good ways to sexualize things. Everybody likes sex, right? There's nothing like... There is positivity to sexualization if there's positivity to sex itself.
Mm-hmm.
Which I hope... Fuck, I hope there is.
Yeah.
Otherwise, I'm
gotta be.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Otherwise, I don't know what my priorities are.
Well, you know, there's love. There's, like, love.
Yeah,
like,
yeah,
love.
Sex is a part of love.
And then there's also hate fucking.
Yes, exactly. And, like, there's a risk in it itself to where you can, like, have issues with it, obviously, but there's more safe ways to do it. So I think there are safe ways to do, and, like, moral ways to do sex scenes or rape scenes, or as long as you're not painting. I mean, rape's complicated because people are like, well, that is validating rape and it's depicting it
exactly,
and, like, reinforcing the idea of, like, showing it to you. But, like, it's, I don't think there's no proof for that in my mind, just because you know about the Holocaust doesn't mean you're trying to go out and...
Yeah, it goes back to that conversation happened. Like, blackface is like, you don't have to cut out all the scenes that have blackface in them because some of the scenes with blackface in them are, like, making fun of the idea of blackface.
Yeah, and ironically, dude, I think that type of shit is usually, like, performative white people getting upset about it more than black people.
Yeah.
Should we be okay with menstrual shows and shit? Like, of course not. Like, that's... where there's segregation and we have black people... or black people can't even be in movies, so we have white people, like... romanticizing them, mystifying them, and putting on faces like, oh, what does it mean to be black? Like, look at me. We're such an interesting savage, you know? Like, that stereotype is what's wrong about it. There's nothing wrong with Robert Downey Jr. playing the guy. Like, on top of the fact that it's fucking satirical.
Yeah.
Like, I knew it. Like, it's so funny that is coming back up. Like, and he's... people are trying to cancel him. But I'm also very careful with the whole cancel culture thing to where I'm hopeful, way less confident that with, like, people on the alt-right or, like, ultra-conservatives are not... that it's a vocal minority of people spewing very hateful and, like, bigoted things. I mean, I think it's more people... I think a lot of those people have, like, implicit biases that they're unaware of, and they're just... their biggest issue is an unwillingness to learn shit and, like, change their mind. So they get stuck. They don't understand why they're being an asshole... but they're not the people always just, like, yelling and screaming. I think there's less of those people, but it is weird to me how often more and more come out of the woodworks and are like, damn, you really fucking think that? That's, like, how do you do that and how do you think that and not see how there's... knowing what the reality of the situation is, you know, especially with things like mass incarceration, and that's just a very specific example. Like, that alone shows so much racism within the system. It's like, how can you deny that? But on the left, there is, like, tons of people, too, that are, like... that try to do, like, the cancel culture thing and, like, get out of control. And sometimes it is worth, like, you calling people out and, like, and especially when they've done something wrong. But you can't be so black and white that there's no moral basis.
You're not allowed to allow people to have mistakes.
Yeah, it can't be that.
Because people are not... again, we're naturally flawed. We make mistakes. Like, you can't just be like... yeah, well, guess what? He punched a guy back in like, 2013.
Right. So take
and that guy... that guy later became a woman. You know, it's like,
yeah,
but he was a dick back then.
Mm-hmm.
He probably deserved to get punched.
Mm-hmm.
And then she, or I guess, okay, it was always a she. Mm-hmm. She probably deserved to get punched, which I don't know. Again, I'm probably fucking myself over with this, with this example, but
yeah, dude, that's it. I'm shutting this shit down.
Yeah, I'm shutting it. It's
no,
over.
I agree. I mean, but you're joking too, so that really matters.
Exactly. So, it was a hyperbolized example of, of what, how stupid, you know, you can't, there are going to be people that did, who was it? It was like Obama's daughter got caught with like drinking tequila or something.
Yeah, smoking weed or something.
Yeah, and it was just like, yeah, I mean, she did that. And?
She's a human being, right?
Yeah.
And that's not even necessarily a mistake, and that's kind of how I feel about these other things too, is things that don't hurt other people and don't hurt yourself too, it's like, at least unless, I mean, weed and alcohol, whatever it was, doesn't hurt you unless it's in excess and it's a normal thing. A lot of people, I mean, to some people it's not this. Some people are like, oh, drinking is like, well, you shouldn't drink. That's just not good for you at all in any quantity.
Mm-hmm.
I think it really, for people like that, that think that way, whether it's like, I don't think a lot of it's intentional hate. It's just like not unchecked negative judgment.
Well, and it is. And the thing that's interesting is the people who were coming to defend the Obama's daughter, like immediately, were a lot of the people I saw on Twitter. And they're like, it was the same people, the people that were like, yeah, I did that too when I was 20, you know, mm-hmm. or like, or that, what's wrong with that? Are the same people that are attacking the men for doing these, for making a mistake or
right. And there is levels to it, obviously, like every mistake, there's different merits to what is more or less immoral in my mind, for sure. Like there's a difference between, you know, even if his Obama's daughter got shit-faced and threw up on somebody's couch, and it's like way more embarrassing, and they're like, this is supposed to be one of the daughters of the president. Yeah. That's not very like,
you know, she didn't ask for that. She didn't.
Right, exactly. Ask, it's like, you fucking. And plus, it, like, there's humor in that. If you can, there should be humor in that. If you have a sense of humor, you're like, I would laugh if one of my buddies did that in the long run. You know,
oh, yeah,
even if it
sure.
was fucked up. I look at that. There's fucked up things can be funny too. It doesn't make them okay.
Yeah,
you can still criticize something and laugh at it too. So it's
yeah,
like, I would hope, and I think really it's a vote. I hope those kind of people are vocal minorities. It's harder with the right, I think, because politics are so. The politics of defending no regulation is hard to break through. It's hard to get through that for people that, which isn't even true, is they try to regulate things that they care about, like abortion, you know? So it's like, I don't even know.
Mm-hmm.
But I think there's more people, there's more ignorance on the right, I would say, and more being
at least at this time in history.
In this time in history, for sure.
Mm-hmm.
And that's really largely, I think, because of, like, the perfect storm and then Trump coming into power, you know? It's just, like, exacerbated those issues to where it was with, there's a reason people say he's not a conservative, he's not a Republican president, and he's like, he's nothing like the ones we've had before, and some of them were even shitty.
Yeah.
And some Democrats have been too, they've all been shitty in some form, and Obama's not innocent either, but I do think he's
best of the worst.
Best we've had. Yeah, best of the worst, and damn near, like, actually crossing into good. How can you be a good president, though? You fucking get into a, you walk into the door and you're like, okay, there's like mass inequality and two wars going on. Don't kill anybody.
Yeah.
Like, what do you expect? Like, we're in, once we're in the midst of the war, I don't like war either. And I think that ultimately I am very anti-war and for like demilitarizing things, but so you got, whether you're the president or you're fucking parent with some junkies, you've got a certain hand dealt to you. And
yeah,
you have to
for
play
sure.
your cards the best way to make to win the game.
To play the game, you've got to be the pimp, you know?
Exactly.
Yeah, and I'm not saying, I don't even know that much about the Obama administration. I know there's a lot of shitty things that went down there too. But listening, I have just listened to like one podcast where he came on. It was a Marc Maron podcast.
Oh,
that
he was
came
on Marc Maron's podcast.
Yeah, it was pretty cool.
Sick,
actually,
dude.
But like, and hearing stories about, like, so obviously he's done some bad things, but you know, when you humanize that person on Maron, it's like, okay, he's talking about, actually on Maron he kind of got really political with it, which was fine, you know, I wasn't really that into it, but in Chappelle talks about him or talks about meeting him, and he like comes up, he's like meeting all the like media people, and Chappelle's like patiently waiting, and it was before he even got elected president, and then afterward he's like Dave Chappelle and like daps him up, you know what I mean? And like the idea of like him being able to be human,
yeah,
I mean, it just seems like, I don't think Trump, I don't know. I just feel like Trump couldn't have a normal, like, I could never relate to Trump. You know what I mean? I could probably relate to Obama more than I could relate to Trump.
Yeah, I definitely think so. I think maybe that was more of a question you could ask at the beginning of his election, but or at the beginning of his campaign in 2016, but it became quickly apparent, I think, with there's so much shit. And there's never been more dirt on somebody, you know, and it's like the worst dirt.
But I mean, it's also the era of finding dirt on people, you know, how much if Obama had been a president in 2016 or 20, you know, what would we find on him that we don't?
That's true. Well, there's still shit coming out. You know, the right tries to do that too, and they did it to Clinton. Some of it's fake, some of it's real, and some of the real shit is messed up. And I mean, I don't know a ton of it either, but a lot of people talk about drone strikes and civilian deaths and stuff, and drone strikes and stuff, which is like I was very upset about that too when it first happened. And I don't think there is an excuse of like war means civilians are gonna die. Some people think that, where they're like it's chaos, it's bloody, you know, it's not a pretty thing. And sure, you can try not to kill civilians, but what if there's like a whole group of terrorists or bad people, like bad, or if the enemy is congregated in an area that's around civilians, which is a perfect tactic they try to do. That shows how little they care about their fucking community too.
If a dude rapes your hoe, I mean, you're gonna have to show some, you know.
You gotta throw hands. Throw brass hands.
Exactly.
Break their neck.
Yeah, for sure.
But not to defend it. I'm not defending it. I feel like it's complicated though, and that shows, like, especially when you're already in a war. I'm sure Obama was like, you know, going to Iraq was not the best thing to do, but here we are. It's if I'd stop trying to finalize it and finish it, sometimes it's that moral crisis of like how do you evaluate how many people are going to live or how many people are going to die?
Yeah, and the thing is too, morally, you look at Trump and you think he's probably a bad person, but he's made some good moral decisions for some people, you know. Again, I don't try to get into politics too much, and I try to, you know, give both sides the benefit of the doubt. And I would like to think that Trump has done some good things. You know what I mean? Like, I think he gets shit done. That's what I've heard, even if it's maybe not the best shit.
Well, I do think that is a facade based on what I know about him, of just all the failures of his businesses and like the way a lot of employees talk about him, on top of all the personal issues too. That's where it becomes pretty clear to me. It's like, okay, this person is like, you're not going to change this person. They're deeply gone. And I do think he has a lot of mental problems, and just like, I think he's a very broken person, and on some level I feel sorry for him. And but I do think the point you're making is true. Like,
Mozart was a shitty person, but he made some crazy music. You know, Trump might be a shitty person and be like a really good businessman, like they say.
Yeah,
you know,
I don't know. Even that, that's what I'm like, is he really that good? I mean, so many of us, and finally for bankruptcy isn't like always a bad thing. Sometimes you do that to open up another business, and like that's partially what he did. But he's not as rich as he says. He's always lying, and that's what's like. He's never as good as he says he is, even if he is like good at something. He's good at business, but he's not as good at business as he says he is.
Yeah.
And a huge reason of why he's that good at business is he did it in a corrupt way. He wasn't doing it like Elon Musk, where, you know, he's taking care of his employees and he's like trying to make progress for the human race, and like it's all about him and his wealth.
Yeah.
Some people can get rich way, sure, it'll help him, but I think he's like the epitome of a narcissist. And so many people, I mean, so many like healthcare workers have like done videos of breakdowns of like, this is literally textbook narcissism out of someone. And they did like a diagnosis on him at the beginning of his presidency. There was already enough there, and that seems like, that seems like nothing. Like, you can't even, there's like 7 or 8 things then or something. Now it's like, just they keep getting piled on. I've just seen lists of corrupt shit he's done too, and it's like, damn. But
yeah,
that's a lot different than, like, you know,
it's a different world.
Dude. Different than the other people getting canceled too. So I do get upset with the left on that, in that regard, to where they're just like, it's hard not to when you get angry enough. It's hard to like control that anger and be like, okay, we got that guy. Who else can we get? It's like, how do you turn that off? And I think it's something you have to be mindful of. And
yeah, who else can we get? That's a
funny. It's like, yeah, it's like a gotcha moment. Like, who can we just like find some dirt on? And like, that felt good. We did something right. We tore down the fucking bad guy. Like, let's get another bad guy.
Mm-hmm.
But if you're just like, if you're compromising your own morals and you just don't even care about looking at the differences between evil acts and like, and how one can be more, that if you look at, you can't look at it as black and white, I don't feel like, because then you start trying to ruin people's lives for saying something you didn't agree with.
And it's
But I do think where I used to get very, very upset at like cancel culture and like just like as bitter about that as I was about with racism and stuff, or like shit on the right, I was like, those are both like plagues of the human consciousness and the American lifestyle. But the more I try to like calm myself down and not be a hypocrite and that kind of philosophy I'm speaking to, I feel like it's made me see it a little differently, to where I'm like, okay, I think it is like, I don't think a lot of people mean to be that way or are intentionally being that way. I think a lot of people that even get into like this cancel mentality and or perceive that way, some of the people maybe I perceive that are like seem more radical and like are that sensitive, if I sat down and talked with them like this and I'm like, oh, maybe that in that situation they were, and maybe they're wrong in that situation, but that doesn't automatically mean that they're just like whipping out the sword and just lopping off heads any direction, like, oh, you did something wrong, like, fwah, you're done, like, give me all your money, your job, and your name, and let's fucking run it into the ground.
Yeah.
I don't think there's as many people that way, and that's why I have confidence, and even if it were, I'm glad we can do stuff like this, and there's gotta be people that are willing to just speak their mind and say shit, and...
Yeah, I mean, there's also some that won't. Like, I've tried to have a conversation. I think I said something at a party one time that was like a generalization towards women.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, obviously you're not supposed to do that, at least especially in a public setting, that's for sure. But she, you know, she like called me out on it right then and there, and I got embarrassed, which I should have been. Like, I can't. You're not supposed to do that, and I admit that. And, I mean, there is differences between men and women or whatever. But the point is, like, it was later in the night, and I tried to, like, sit down and have a conversation about it and be like, okay, like, I get a little bit why I was wrong, but can you, like, you know, break it down a little bit for me? And she was just not having it at all.
She
like,
didn't even want
to
talk.
Yeah, she, you know, and she was, like, trying to talk. She was trying to talk at me, and I was, like, trying to present the point that, why I said it, and you're not even allowed to explain yourself in this cancel culture anymore. You're not allowed to, you know, every part of your explanation is going to be picked apart to be like, well, you only said this because you want to come back from
microaggressions and
yeah, exactly, and that just pisses me off a lot.
Yeah, and well, that's the point where I'm like, where I get the same, I have the same realization when it's that far gone with those kinds of people. With a mistake like that, you know, you just put it in context for me.
Mm-hmm.
I have the same like realization with them as I do with people that are like just willfully ignorant on what the reality of
human nature.
Yeah, and shit, and the way the world exists right now that aren't the SJWs, you know, like at the end of the day, you're doing the same thing. It's like, yes, maybe you did do something wrong, and like she schooled you on it, and that's fine. You're fine. You're fine with getting schooled.
I admit, admit that I made a mistake. Yeah.
You have to let people atone, though. Like, what kind of, and that's a paradox. I mean, the people of her politics and mentality are usually the people that are like rehabilitative justice over retributive justice, and it's like there is a very. Shouldn't only be like that in a court. You should have that in personal situations. And, you know, there's something to be said, too. Maybe she just wasn't ready then. You know, maybe she was so... Yeah, she's had that happen to her many times to where she's, like, anxious. And she's like, I just can't do it in this environment right now. We're surrounded by people. I'm fucked up. I need to, like, just another time or something, you know?
Mm-hmm. She could have said that, though. You know,
exactly.
She didn't.
Exactly. So she's clearly... At that point, that's where I'm like, you're at fault, too, now. You know? Mm-hmm. Like, and you need... It's important... If I have to accept my fault, you have to accept your fault, too, in any situation. And it's like, no, you weren't wrong for me making the potentially sexist comment that I made. I don't even know what you said, so that's why I said
I don't even remember what it was either. But the point wasn't to be like, I wasn't intentionally being sexist. I was trying to point out like a difference between men and women.
Oh, okay.
Or like, you know, talk about like, you know, how a different perspective or something, you know?
I'm curious of what it was, but...
Yeah, I think I said like, it seems like all girls go through like an emo phase with like punk rock or something like that. Yeah, something like that.
Yeah, that's interesting. Which I guess, you were making a joke, I'm guessing, too. Or you were...
I mean, I'm always joking, so...
Some jokes are serious, though. I mean, there's like... sometimes... And I think that's important to say, too. Everything's open to criticism. Like, even... You can make an untasteful joke, and it's okay to do that as long as you're open to, like, changing your perspective on it.
Yeah.
But that's where I'm like, you should be able to... That's part of being friends and just people is like... You should have said that.
That's what I like. I thought it was a friendly environment. Yeah, exactly.
We've all said stupid shit before.
And I think everybody else in the room, like you said, had that mentality. He's like, dude, come on, you shouldn't have said that, and like move on with it. But like, she like focused on it, you know, and like wanted to like keep that mentality of like, okay, this guy is a bigot, and like wanted to turn. I don't know.
But there's an ironic way to saying that too, where you're like. Because it was a wave, you know, like, and there was, like, there's a very stereotype, everybody is somewhat the stereotypes, you know, like, people call them, I've never said I'm a hippie in my life, you can bet your ass that everybody's stereotype, not everybody, it's a generalization, but a lot of people stereotype me as a hippie and say, you're this kind of hippie, or that kind of hippie, and they have these preconceived notions of what a hippie looks like and is, and they're like, that's you, and that's okay to some degree, it's kind of fun, I mean, yes, I do have long hair, it fits a description, none of us are originals, you know, we all like something, and that's fine to, like, find the thing you're interested in, be in that group, but it doesn't make you entirely just that thing, but it's fun to, it can be funny to make fun of that stuff, there's humor and, like,
well, that's what, I mean, if you look at the most famous comedians, they break down differences between men and women, they break down, you know, the differences between people who are religious and who are not
cultures,
you know,
and race, like the Dave Chappelle skit of like where he plays the white dad and he plays the black dad. That shit's hilarious. Is he saying that every black and white dad is like that?
No.
And I'm guessing I know you well enough to where you don't actually think, if you said that to me at a party and we're joking, I wouldn't be like, oh my God, does Steve actually think every girl is some like PMSing like emo girl all the time and like and has no control over their hormones? It's like, that's not what you said, and that would be more fucked up if you did say that, but like, I think obviously social cues matter too, so maybe she didn't know you as well, and like, then, you know, like, I'll make race jokes in front of my best friend who's black, but I'm not gonna make a race joke in front of someone I don't even, like, some black dude I don't even know yet, you know? Yeah. So that stuff matters too, but at the end of the day, like, you should be able to be forgiven. That's really what it comes down to, even if it was. And it sounds like it could have been, but, like, it's not the worst thing you could have said either. So to just be like, you, like, bad person, gone.
Bad,
like,
I don't want to talk to them anymore. To, like, immediately write off somebody.
It says
like
more
that.
About them at the end of the day, especially if they didn't reach out after that. Like, and she was like, here, let me hear you out now. Let's talk about this. And, like, let me have a conversation, you know? Like, that's the only way people get better and you can preserve a relationship. And, I ain't for it, dude. I mean, there's parts... I think there's stuff that cancel culture can do to where it's, like, it holds people accountable, and I love that, holding people accountable. Like, it's great when it fucking gets Harvey Weinstein.
Yeah.
But it's terrible when it gets Aziz Ansari, you know? Like, it's not that's all black and white.
It really is not.
You can guarantee I won't cancel. If you don't cancel me, I won't cancel you for anything you said on this podcast.
Thank you so much. I won't cancel you either.
Thank you, man.
One more thing.
That's where we're at. We're going to start talking about everybody that preface it with, I ain't going to cancel you.
Yeah, I'm not going to cancel you.
Like,
I swear to God.
Oh, I fucking murdered my mother last night. And it's like, I just told him I wasn't going to cancel him. I can't be a liar now.
But so this is something that, like, I think this could probably be the last topic, maybe, just to kind of wrap it up.
For sure.
Something to finish. It kind of goes back to the Dave Chappelle, like, pimp story a little bit. He was talking about how, you know, there's this idea in the pimping industry of having a bottom bitch, right? There it's that, you know, if McDonald's is the pimp, then the fries are the bottom bitch, because they get, like, everybody, you know, it's the idea that these... The bottom bitch keeps other people in line as well. You know, they kind of help out the pimp a little bit, and they're, like, you know, the big selling point.
Yeah.
And it's like, I mean, Aziz Ansari, you know, it's like there are famous people out there right now who are on the side of the elites that are trying to suppress people, but do it through the facade that, oh, you know, we're just another celebrity. You know what I mean? Or and it's the same way. It trickles down, obviously, down to different parts of, you know, middle class people and lower class people. Lower class people being the actual example of, you know, a pimp and a prostitute and a bottom bitch. But, you know, it just echoes through all the classes. And it's crazy that you can't. Don't just because, Aziz Ansari, I feel like Aziz Ansari said something about another celebrity too, even. You know what I mean? I feel like, I don't know Aziz. I don't know any of these people. That's the other thing, is you have to realize you don't know. Like, you know their brand. You know Kevin Hart because of the movies that he's done and the comedy that he's put out. But you don't know this person, or from the news that you've read on him.
You know parts of them, but you don't know them as personally as you do your friend, you know?
If Dave Chappelle likes Kevin Hart, and see, the thing is, there's things that I've read about Kevin Hart where, you know, he makes bad jokes, like about the gay thing that he talked about in Sticks and Stones. Mm-hmm. Or I think recently he like broke up with his girlfriend who was pregnant or cheated on her or something.
Yeah, I think he cheated on her. I've heard he I don't know if it's true. I don't want to, like, I mean, I'll say it, but again,
exactly.
I don't know if he did, but I heard he
was
physically abusive to one of his, like, his ex-wife or something like that.
I have no idea.
That would be the most fucked up, but, and you don't know. You don't know. Just because he goes on stage and talks about his family and how and he shows how good of a dad he is doesn't mean, unless you know him personally, you don't know that he couldn't be that person. So you should at least be open to hearing that it might have happened.
Right.
If you're interested. If you're going to have an opinion on it.
But other celebrities are going to be that bottom bitch and be like, no, fuck Kevin Hart. You know, fuck him. It's like, you can't just have that instilled. Like, I don't know.
Yeah.
It's a crazy system.
Yeah, it is. Like, you can, a lot of people are both the pimp and the bottom bitch in some instances. In some instances, Kevin Hart and Aziz Ansari are the pimp, and some they've become the bottom bitch. And if some people on Twitter that are making stuff up or telling the truth about controversial situations, they are usually, they lived as the bottom bitch and they get a hint of power and they're like, listen.
Yeah, that's true. Yeah, bottom bitches come in and out too.
Yeah, and that definitely, social media has like given that, it's given more flexibility for when you can be a bottom bitch or when you can be the pimp in an era where that was really well defined before, to where it's like whoever had the money had the power. But now you have mass information, and it's like, if you can get people on board, you can take down the juggernaut. But yeah, it's crazy, dude. And there's flaws too. There's good things that come from that too. You know, there's a lot of good stuff that comes from all this access. And who knows if Harvey Weinstein would have went down in the way that he should have if we didn't, or Bill Cosby, if there wasn't this access to information. And but there's downsides to it too. You just gotta, I think, when you're trying to shift
the
paradigm, you gotta make sure not to over compensate for with the new power that you possess. Otherwise, you're just like the old person. You become the authoritarian figure you hated.
Yeah.
And that doesn't seem.
Well, so something that I've kind of. Yeah.
Right?
Right? That doesn't seem right. But something that I've kind of. A realization that I've kind of. I mean, I actually kind of learned it through Ozark a little bit, which is weird. Yeah, but there's just this part where, like, it's the two kids, and, one's the older sister and one's the younger brother. And the younger brother, in one night, he gets, like, his first kiss, but then also some crazy shit happens, right? Mm-hmm. And then later in the night, she's like, hey, you know, when you think about this night in the future, think about, you know, you got your first kiss, you know, think about that. Don't think about the bad shit that happened.
Yeah.
So it's like, looking back at society, it's like, you still got to remember, like, the shitty things that happen and, like, the shit parts of it, especially right now, all the shit parts. Like, going through it, you're going to focus more on the shit parts because they're going to be the overwhelming thoughts in our heads. Mm-hmm. But at the end of the day, a couple of years down the line, after, you know, when we think back about coronavirus, think about, like, all the, like, how close of a relationship you made with somebody that you were stuck with. Or think about, like, you know, think about the things that you did to, like, overcome, you know, this new feat that we're gonna have to do, you know.
Exactly. It's positive. It's an outlook thing for sure.
And that's, I mean, I always try to end the episodes on a positive note.
Good. I should try doing that more.
Yeah,
I think I usually have. I'm pretty optimistic guy, but
yeah,
that's a good thing to make sure, because you're never gonna have a bad ending when you have that.
Yeah, and it just feels like you know you're trying to tie things together in a happy way instead of leaving it like, well, you know, there's prostitutes, pimps, and we're all pieces of shit.
Yeah, things are not getting better.
Yeah.
it's getting worse. We're gonna have more terrible pimps and more. I'm crushing
the plastic. Think about this. Mother Nature's the pimp. And we're...
Yeah, dude.
Hey, we ain't the bottom bitch. I'm going to tell you that right now.
Dude, she's dicking us down.
Oh, yeah. Mother
Nature. I have one more question. And one point, add a second bow onto it. That's still about porn and prostitution. And kind of a... Just as a final thought to leave with people, because it was one of the most, like, profound things that changed my mind on how I look at prostitution and pornography when comparing them. And I'm just like, it is stupid. It's a stupid fine line, and it's a camera. It's literally it. That's the only difference between, it's like, dude, if I'm ever a fucking prostitute, I'm gonna have a fucking Nikon strapped to my neck the whole time, and just, like, under my shirt, so if the cops come up, I just pull it out, and I'm like, no, you don't understand. Like, I'm filming it. I've got this hole in the shirt here. I promise. It's not prostitution.
Yeah.
And it just gets... And
it's like the scene in The Deuce where, like, they're filming... They're making, like, that film, kind of, and there's a director telling the actors what to do, but there's also, like, a crowd of people watching.
Uh-huh.
Yeah, and it's just like, you know...
Oh, that's what you were saying. That's what makes it not prostitution.
Yeah.
That's what
they're saying. The camera was. Yeah. The camera's there. Yeah.
It's so funny. You have it. Yeah, it's insane. It's insane. So, do you think that, because I never really asked you earlier, do you think that there is a moral way of doing pornography and prostitution, and that prostitution should be legalized and regulated?
Yeah, I think so. But, I mean, that's a very radical thought. You know, it's a to have that. Yeah, seemingly. But, like I said.
It's not as radical as communism. But.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. but yeah, I mean, the way that Australia does it sounds fairly clean to me.
Yeah, and I agree, man.
Like, I would never have to be in a situation where I would imagine hooking up with a prostitute or anything,
yeah,
you know.
You're single, right?
Well, yeah, maybe I should check it out. but, you know, it's, I can't, like, my opinion on the matter, I feel like, doesn't really have any weight within the actual issue.
Well, you're a smart person. You're a good person. Like, I think your any opinion, as long as it's thought out,
yeah.
I would agree with. So
yeah.
I think that matters.
So to have something that seems safer and cleaner, it seems like the best of the options.
Yeah, totally.
Best
and
of the
one
worst.
One day we might get the vote on it. So hopefully, like, I do agree with that. That I do tend to agree with the people that have taught me that is a possibility and that's the right idea. And I'm like, oh yeah, that makes sense. Like, I don't see it as taboo as I used to.
Mm-hmm. So. Yeah, and also, yeah, like, I'm also only 21, you know, your thoughts change as you get older, because when I was a kid, I was like, the idea of alcohol, I was like, I'm never going to drink, you know, it's what, you know, it's like, I'm never going to, so, you know, who knows, I really don't, like,
yeah,
I have no idea, and even when I'm 50, you know, will my opinion be valid at that point, because then we'll be young looking at the 50-year-old's opinions being like, no, you're a piece of shit, and like,
I'm sure they're going to look at us too, like, we're pieces of shit.
Exactly, so, because everybody... Is a piece of shit. Exactly, right. Yeah.
Which is why I'm really just waiting for prostitution to be legalized, because I'm, like, way too above all these, like, cracked out heroin addict fucking heroin addicted prostitutes. Yeah. We need a clean prostitute, so that'll be the day.
That'll be the day. All right, man.
Since I'm a shitty person.
Yeah. Well, I appreciate you having me come out here.
Yeah, I appreciate you having me. I appreciate you being on this show, and I appreciate being on your show.
Yeah. Do I get to have the art done?
No.
Oh, sad.
If you kind of...
No, it's fine, Joe. No, it's fine. I'm going to... Yeah.
Yeah, just leave your mic.
There you go.
Kenneth Ray. Full Midwest Finest.
With a dough drop deuce in a 20, right around the city, pocket full of Benjis. Oh, with a dough drop deuce in a 20, right around the city, pocket full of Benjis. Oh, with a dough drop deuce in a 20, right around the city, pocket full of Benjis. Bitch, I don't give a fuck who's hating, I'm steady growing this. And I feel the rise up in my bones. Got tats up on my skull. Back out, I can't recall. Act out, you know what I be a bone. Get it gone, making it go. Slip on the floor, two sheets and a pillow. Reload, shoot it like a free throw. Gotta make sure that they all turn to ghosts. In the back with a stack in the rack, with a bag full of pack. And I rap till I pass out, pass till I'm packed out. Back to the dugout, show go down. Well, you know I come out. Hold low down, I'm the new low head. Now show go round with a mouth. Got me buzzing out, beat on the beat. In the belly of the beast, be eating Chinese. In a whip full of contraband. Oh, what a dough drop deuce in a 20, right around the city, pocket full of Benjis. Oh, what a dough drop deuce in a 20, right around the city, pocket full of Benjis. Oh, what a dough drop deuce in a 20, right around the city, pocket full of Benjis. Bitch, I don't give a fuck who's hating, I'm steady growing this. I say, hey, right around, I'm on the incline. My mind is for his up, but ain't a gang sign. Got a bitch, no K9. Styrofoam full of Texas gold. Ride around in the Rust Belt. Rust Belt, you know it is for sure. Fighting to battle bed. Wake up, son of earth.
juice in your mouth and I sip it. Lickety split just like a rabbit. I'm out of the back door with the bag of the dough. They ain't even know. Coming down throw, coming down throw when I feel them right. Get sucked off and I feel mighty fine. Bitch, I'm blowing up, call it dynamite. Headed to the top, call it high dive. Ain't no way around, getting to the sky. Yeah, two Glocks, two full rods, two bodies outside. Bitches gon' get live.